There's a whole lot in 2 Peter chapter 1, one of my favorite passages because it'll really help you. If you just got saved, they're going to get the advice, the standard Baptist advice is to read John and Romans, which you should. Nothing wrong with that. But there's a whole lot for a new convert right here in 2 Peter chapter 1. If you're a hyper-dispensationalist, that probably hurts your feelings. Let me move all this stuff here. I'm OCD about stuff on the pulpit. All right, 2 Peter chapter number 1. Let's read verse 4 and 5. Now, I said this is a good place for a new Christian, a new convert. It's good for anybody that's trying to live for the Lord. And that's because of, I mainly say that because of verse 5, 6, and 7. And he says, beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue and to virtue knowledge. You go down through there and you begin to add those things to your life, and those are little building blocks. And if you do that, the verse goes on, the passage goes on to tell you if you'll do that, you'll never fall. That's a big statement. I don't know if you know how big that statement is, but if there was some formula that I could tell you if you would do it, you would never fall, you would never backslide, you would never go back to the life you used to live. A lot of people would snub their nose at that and say, you better watch out and better be careful. Well, don't tell me, tell Simon Peter. He's the one that wrote it, amen? Now, if you're talking about, I'm never going to do this because I'm so proud and I'm so spiritual and I'm never going to go back, that's the kind of talking you don't do. But the kind of talking you do is that you've found something in the Bible that told you how to build a sound structure or like the Bible calls it in Ephesians, a building habitable by God, then this is the way you build it right here. These are the building blocks. Add to your faith virtue and to virtue knowledge and knowledge temper. So I want to pray and read a few verses of Scripture here, and I'm going to preach to you a message tonight called God and Nothing Else. Lord, we thank you tonight for your goodness and for your grace. And I pray, God, that you'd speak with our hearts tonight. God, and I do have a little nervous shake. God, I pray that you would help me and strengthen me, God, and help me to preach as I ought to. I pray you'd help these folks to listen as they ought to, God, and I pray that they get something from you, some instruction, God, that we can apply to our lives, some thoughts, God, that we can hide down deep in our heart that would help us, God, as we go about and fight the good fight of faith. And I thank you, God, for everything that you do tonight. In Jesus Christ's name, I ask these things. Amen. Amen. All right, let's start reading in verse number 3. The Bible says, according as his divine power. That's enough power right there. If you've got divine power, that's enough power. Amen. A lot of people fear not being able to get something done, but if you're going to try to get something done for the Lord, you've got enough power to get it all the way done. Amen? So he says, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Another giant statement. All things that pertain unto life and godliness. He says, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature. You're born with man's nature. You're born with what the theologians call the Adamic nature. Amen? That Adamic nature, that man's nature, that's your nature. Amen? A lot of people this day and time, they're interested in paranormal stuff, the ghost hunters and the ghost watchers and all this stuff going around. Trying to find all these haunted buildings. All your buildings, all your houses are haunted. They're haunted by you, amen? You're the bad spirit that needs to be exorcised, amen? I get my meters out and come, you know, they'll go. It'll sound off right when I get next to you. You're the one, amen? But that divine nature, it steps in, it replaces a lot of things, does a lot of good, amen? When you get over, you're reading in the book of Romans, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you, and what it goes on, he talks about in that passage of Scripture is being renewed, transforming your mind. What he's talking about really is the same thing that Simon Peter's talking about here. He says you've got the divine nature, and that divine nature is what's going to get the job done in your life. The Bible says, partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, given all diligence, add to your faith virtue. and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I was flipping. I try to watch less and less television. But I do watch some stuff on YouTube. There's a bunch of preaching, and a lot of it is just stuff that will provoke you to anger if you ain't careful. Amen. But there's some good preaching on the Internet, if you can find it, if you can get there without having to wade through some of the filth that it takes to get to some of that stuff. But at any rate, I was watching a preaching sermon a couple of weeks back, a good preacher that we all know and love. I'm not knocking his preaching, but I am going to use a statement that he made. I heard him as he was preaching. He said something along the lines, and you can say amen if you want to this. It's all right. But I'm going to preach against it for about the next 35 minutes. But just help yourself, amen? Because in the general, I agree with it. But he said, what you need is God and nothing else. Nobody's saying amen at all, amen? Good thing I told you beforehand what I was going to do, ain't it, amen? Well, on the surface of it, that's good. I mean, you need God better than you need a Cadillac or a Ford or Chevrolet, or you need God more than that. You need God more than you need a house. You need God more than you need a 401k. Or you need God more than you need all that. Everybody can agree with that and say amen to that, amen? But the church, I believe, is living right now, and eventually it's going to die by a bunch of cliche thoughts and cliche phrases in preaching. And if you want to get a crowd really excited, you get a youth group together, you get a bunch of folks in camp meeting and holler, God is good, and everybody will yell all the time. And everybody, you know, everybody's having a good time. Amen? But it's not really your admiration of God while you're in the pep rally that really matters a whole lot. You want to have a pep rally, I'll have one with you. Amen? But there's going to be some problems that arise down the road from camp meeting or down the road from the youth rally that's really going to try to throw a wrench in the machine. It's really going to try to upset your apple cart. You're trying to live for the Lord, and you're trying to add to your faith virtue and to add knowledge to virtue and add knowledge to faith and add brotherly kindness to charity. You're trying to do all that stuff, but there's a roaring, there is a devil, there's an adversary that goes around as if he were a roaring lion, and he's trying to mess you up. He's trying to scare you off your game, amen? He's trying to get you out of that. There's a spirit. The Bible says this world is ruled by the same spirit that's in the children of disobedience. And that spirit is the one that don't want you to read your Bible. It wants you to watch TV instead of read your Bible. It's the same spirit that wants me to shut up and stop preaching and sit down and be still and let everybody go about their business. Amen. That's the same spirit. It's all the same spirit. Amen. And so what the statement was, it's all you need, God and nothing else. And that to me really is just cliche preaching. And there, you know, if you want to do that, I'll probably say amen. If you got up here next and preached and said something like that, all you need is God and nothing else, I'd probably say amen to that. But the problem that I have with stuff like that, well, Brother Mike's a nitpicker, and Brother Mike likes to pick things apart. I understand that kind of thought process too, if you're easygoing. Get yourself an umbrella and a glass of iced tea and sit down and watch everybody else fight the good fight. That's all right with me. Be just fine with me. But the problem I have with that is people have a real easy time believing the real easy statements. And if I was to get up and say, now all you need is God and nothing else, and boy, people would grab on to that. But if I said you needed discipline in your life, well, Brother Mike, I live under grace. What's your problem? What's the problem with discipline? You say, Brother Mike, what good is discipline? The discipline is the house and three cars and two garages that your grandpa has and the car that's falling apart that you got working 5 hours a week. If you want an illustration of what discipline is, that's what it is. Discipline is having enough gumption to stick to it when the hardships do arise. Discipline is the difference in a church where if something doesn't go your way or something doesn't turn out the way you thought it was, half the congregation be gone the next week, or something doesn't go right and something is hard to deal with and the whole congregation pulls together and you have more the next week than you did the week before. Yeah. The difference in that is discipline. So I want to preach to you for just a minute using this passage of Scripture here about God and nothing else. God and nothing else. And let me say to you, first of all, what if you had God and no discipline? What if you had God and no discipline? Is there anything in the Bible that could tell us about how that would turn out for us? And I say that there is. I think about Samson. He had God. And if you're going to get in a fight with Samson, you better watch out. He's going to win that fight, amen? You say, why? Because he had God. He could pick up the gate of a city and walk away with it. And I don't know. He's not talking about that flimsy billboard that says, welcome to Miami. Amen. He's talking about a wrought iron gate that's sitting there to keep people out. Amen. Samson picked one of those and walked away with it. And he didn't need an AR-15 to defeat an opposing army. He just picked up an old bone and went to slashing it, folks, and come out the victor. Amen. And you say, how did he do that? Because he had God with him. I think the grandest joke that God ever played is that when you get to heaven, you're going to find out that Samson was probably the size of Nathan up here on the front row. Amen. Most of these big movies and stuff, they depict Samson as this great, big, strapping warrior. And he might have been. I don't know. I just ain't never seen a Jew that big. Have you? There might be one or two around. I don't know. But I just think it'd be just like God to put his spirit on some little fella like that and let him whoop a whole entire legion and you know, just have his way. Amen? Amen. That's exactly right. This little old breeze that's blowing out here today, freezing me to death. Amen. But that little old breeze, you know, that thing get to turning and churning around. God stick his hand down in it and God to have his way in the whirlwind. Yeah. That little breeze that's blowing against the side of the building and going on up into New Jersey and on up into New York and going to blow some cold weather over the next few days. God just put his spirit in there and stir it up a little bit. He'll blow this building to New York. Amen. You say, why? Because it got God. Amen. Yeah. If the wind's just giving you a generally good afternoon with a glass of tea, that's one thing. But if God gets involved with it, it'll tear your world apart. Right. That's what God did with Samson. Samson's just a man. Mm-hmm. Samson, not a superhero. Yeah. Amen. I hate to tell some of you grown-ups, but Superman is not real. No. The earth is round and Superman is not real. It don't make no difference what preacher or what scientist says, it's flat, it's round. Yeah. Amen. Don't matter what your TV says, Superman can't fly. No. Amen. If you want to test the theory, jump up on the ridge of this building and jump off and see if you can fly or not. It's not real. Amen. But I tell you what, God put his hand on a little man over there in Israel. And God allowed him to do great things, just like God could put his hand on you and allow you to do great things. And if you don't have discipline, like Samson didn't have discipline, some girl will come along and mess you up. Some bottle will come along and mess you up. Some abstract idea about something as stupid as a flat earth will come by. Listen, there's preachers, honest to goodness preachers, who used to win folks to God, and they get tore up on some tangent about whether or not Cain is Adam's boy or the devil's boy, and they forget about what's important in the Bible. You say, what is that? No discipline. We've been called with a purpose, amen? Sometimes we need reminders of what our purpose is. And that reminder, ever how you want to describe it, turns out to be discipline. Amen. Amen. I got my light switch in my bedroom. I took a little black jar of paint and I painted right over my light switch, purpose. And I pointed an arrow towards the door. Ain't nothing going on in my bedroom. Nothing for me to sit around. Oh, I've studied, got in my bedroom and studied 50 hours. So you could do what? Go out there and look around at the world, not do nothing?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Get on your television, get on your telephone and gossip and sit around in that room and sit around in that living room. Ain't no wonder you're depressed out of your brain. You ain't getting nothing done.
Yeah.
Well, it's so hard to get something done. That's why you need discipline. Discipline make you work when it ain't going to seemingly do no good. But my Bible tells me in all labor, there's profit. All labor. I ain't got no job. Go mow somebody's grass for free. What's the profit in that? You won't get lazy, amen? Do something, amen? But Samson had God. God was on Samson's side. Did you know you read over in the New Testament, you find what we call the heroes of the faith, or some people call it the hall of fame for the faithful. And did you know Samson's in that chapter? You know why he's in that chapter? Because he had God. But you know why he got his eyes punched out? You know why he ended up having to serve the enemy? Because he didn't have no discipline. Amen. You can read it for yourself over in Judges chapter 16. The Bible said they bound him in fetters of brass. They punched out his eyes. This passage that we read right here. Let's read in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 9. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off. They punched out Samson's eyes. How were they able to do that? He didn't have no discipline. Didn't have no discipline. The Bible says over there in the book of Judges that they bound him in fetters of brass. That brass in the Bible represents judgment. That's why they made the altar out of brass, because that's where they offered the sin sacrifice at. That represents the cross. Amen. You can either take up your cross or somebody put you on a cross. Amen. Amen. That's right. He had God and no discipline. He's blind. He ended up blind and couldn't see anything. The only thing he got to do for God for the rest of his life, he had to get a little boy to lead him. Yep. Had to get a little boy. Hey, young man, take my hands and help me feel over here and find this thing. And he had to kill himself in order to get something done at that point in time. Amen. Amen. He could, listen, he could push that building down, but he couldn't see to get out from under it. Amen. Did you know that there's some people that they're gospel witnesses, and God uses them to win people to the Lord, but at some point in time, if they keep going the way they're going, they're going to cause such a mess that they won't even be able to get out from under it. It'll swallow them up, and then they'll blame everybody else. Yep. That old church over there, they jumped on me, and that old church over there, they did me wrong. No, you did them wrong. You did yourself wrong. Yep. And when everything fell apart, you was too blind to get out from under it. Too blind to get out of the way. You know, these ladies that get together and gossip with one another, and they're saved, and if they witness to somebody, the gospel would help somebody and God would use them. But they get together and start tearing one another apart, and all they're doing is tearing themselves apart while they're doing that very thing. You know what you ought to say about other Christians? Nothing you wouldn't say to them face to face. Matter of fact, if you got somebody something to say to your brother, sister in Christ, or about them, go say it to them. And have some sense when you do it. Amen? Amen. You know what that takes? That takes discipline. It's easy for me to get together with some other brother that's like-minded and start talking about somebody else. But listen, I want to talk to the person face to face. Amen? Telling Brother Jesse today about this old stupid preacher that's on the internet. And we was talking about him. So, Brother Mike, what about it? I talked to the man first. Yeah. Called him and said, hey, we got to deal with this right here. Amen. So God uses some people. It's a whole lot easier just to get up. The easy part is just to get up. All you folks believe about like I do, and I believe about like you do, and I can get up and run off at the mouth for hours and hours, and pretty much we're all in agreement. You might disagree with a speck here or a speck there, but it's easy for us to get along, But the hard part is to survive all week with enough discipline to stand up to that character you espoused on Sunday. Or when you got together in one another's living room, talked about how much you love the Lord, and then you get down there in front of the computer and that thing just blows you away. The sad truth is a lot of Christians get defeated just by a little picture. Yep. God don't have to send you no prostitute, just send you a little picture. Right. Yep. Lead you off sideways. You say, what's the problem? Discipline? Yep. Any of us in here got a problem with discipline? Discipline's a bad word in the age of grace. Yep. But I got news for you. Grace don't mean what you think grace means. Right. Grace don't mean God's riches at Christ's expense. Grace means he's holy and you're not, but he'll still deal with you. Amen. Amen. It's like some of you, when you was a wayward teenager, your mama was a established, mature lady, and your daddy was an established, mature man, but they still dealt with you even though you was an idiot. They still let you live in their house. That's what grace means. That's what grace means. Grace don't mean nothing else. I don't care if you can find it in the dictionary. I don't care where you find anything else. The grace of God means He is holy and we wouldn't. He is right and we is wrong. He was good and we was evil. But yet He still come. While we were His enemies, the Bible said, Christ died for us. That's what grace means. Amen. Amen. That's what that means. That's what that means. But discipline, you start preaching about discipline, other preachers will start preaching against you. Other Christians, you go down to the workplace where you got every kind of and every flavor of religion down there at your workplace, and you start talking about the one true holy God and the way and the truth and the life, you'll find out they'll start talking about you.
Yep.
Well, how are you going to have enough gumption to come back the next day with the same profession? Well, I've been thinking about it, and y'all might be right. I'm probably just too hard. What it's going to take to come back with the same message the next day is some discipline.
Yep.
Amen. If you got God and nothing else, you might run into some problems. Amen? Then let me think about this. Let's talk about this a little bit. How about what if you had God and no revelation? You know who had God and no revelation? Job. You know what Job had? Job's a good man. The Bible said, and I'll just put it in a little paraphrase so you can understand it. You know what Job had? Job had rules. I said, Brother Mike, we hate them rules. I know you do. You're Baptist. I just assumed it of you. Ain't nothing wrong with rules. God liked Job. God loved Job. God bragged about Job. But you want, listen, Job had rules and no revelation. You say, how do you know that? Because at the end of the whole ordeal, Job said, I heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now I see. That's in the New Testament, that's called enlightenment. In the New Testament, that's called revelation. Amen. I've had some rules in my lifetime that I found out weren't no good.
Yep.
Some of the rules that I had when I was growing up just cause Preacher Lackey had them.
Yep.
He said, well, did you find out some of them wasn't true? I got a beard on my face right here, don't I? You know, I've got up and preached about beards. Boys, you better shave them off. You say, why'd you do that? That's what my preacher did. You say, what's that, rules? You say, are you mad at him? No, sir, I'm glad he gave me some rules, even if they didn't turn out to be biblical.
Yeah.
Amen? Me and Jesus got beards. The people that hated Jesus tried to take away his beard.
Yeah. Yeah.
But listen, I take it or leave it. I go home, shave his thing off. It ain't no big deal. Amen. I believe if you're about 25 years old and ain't got no sense, you ought to shave. You say, why? Discipline.
Yeah.
I don't know. I can't nobody make you work. May as well make you shave. Ain't that easy? Seems about right to me. Got to make them do something. Amen.
Yeah.
But you know, a lot of people got rules, but they don't have no revelation. Get a bunch of rules, go out on the street and call people names and be a jerk. Knock on somebody's door and they say they don't want the gospel. You tell them to go on to hell then. They might listen to the gospel down the road someplace, but it ain't going to be from you, you jerk.
That's it. Amen.
That's right.
That's true, amen.
Yeah.
Last time I checked, the gospel meant good news.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's right.
The gospel means good news.
Amen.
Amen. I believe you ought to preach on sin. There ain't a person in this building that believes in preaching against sin more than I do. But when I get out there and I meet somebody, hey, I'm going to tell them what I need to tell them to convince them they're a sinner. And I'm going to do it in as sensible a manner as I possibly can. Now, if you get ignorant with me, I might get ignorant back at you, but you started it. You're not going to go to heaven and blame me for being the jerk. Amen. If I'm a jerk with you out there on the street, it's going to be in self-defense. Go to heaven and say, God, he was a jerk to me. I'll say, no, he done it first, Jesus. Amen. Sometimes you got to do what you got to do. But a lot of these folks, they can't get nobody else to listen to them, so they'll go out and holler at somebody on the street just to be hollering at them on the street. Amen. Go out there and preach. They spit in your face, punch them out, knock them out. If that's what... You better not do that. Listen, Christians think they're Samson. God ain't going to get in a fight with you, amen. He'll let you get your brains beat out right there on the sidewalk, amen. You'd be the toughest man in the whole county, and God will let you get beat up on the street.
Yeah.
Amen. Humility. Amen. God will let you be humbled. But no, what in all seriousness, what I'm talking about is people a lot of times, they'll come from a real jerky standpoint because they just don't have no revelation. If you saw that God could very easily look at you just like you look at a homosexual, you'd realize what grace was, and you'd be thankful for God's grace. See, that's what Job was following all these rules. He didn't really realize that there was still a reason that God would be justified in taking away everything he had. I'm scared of Job. I'm scared of Job. I don't know if you've ever been tempted to ask God to help you just because you preached some sermons or witnessed to some folks, but that's really not a justifying prayer. It's not really a justifying prayer. God might decide to listen to it. An old king in the Old Testament, God said, you're going to die. And he said, Lord, don't you remember all the things I've done for you? God gave him 15 extra years. But God didn't have to give him 15 extra years. God had been justified in killing him before he got the prayer out of his mouth. There's another fellow in the Bible that was seeking repentance so bad he was crying about it. God said, I ain't listening to you. I hate you. That's Esau. I mean, you might not have heard it in the old hillbilly English put like that before. But that's what the Bible says. Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. Yep. Amen. You say, what is that? That's God's own prerogative. Amen. You sit there and say, well, God, I've done this or that. He might take you up on that. You might say, God, I've done this or that. And he might let you go through it anyway. Yep. But the fact of the matter is God has the ability. God would be justified, is what I'm trying to say, to look at you just like you look at a child molester out there on the street. I don't think you could think of nothing worse than that. I don't think there is nothing worse. I believe you'd be justified to go ahead and take somebody out if they was messing with children like that. You might not think like that, but that's because you ain't no man. Amen. If you got a problem with that, you talk to Joe or Tommy after church, and they'll take up for me. Amen. Ain't that right? Amen. Both of them shaking their head, yes. You better be careful. Amen. But in all seriousness, that's true. You say, well, Brother Mike, they're a child molester, and I'm this or that. No, you just trained, that's all.
Yep. Yeah, that's right.
You just trained. You know, every once in a while, the Bible said there's none good.
Men. No, not one.
Yep. No, not one. He put a double emphasis on it. Yep. Double whammy. He said, none good. And you was thinking, well, the Lord hadn't met me yet. He said, no, not one. No, not one, he said.
Yep.
But then he turned around and said, he said, call somebody a great man. Well, is that a contradiction? No, it's not a contradiction. In one sense, he's talking about the way you've been trained. And in the other sense, he's talking about your sins have made you no good. Amen. And what's the difference? God and no revelation. You need rules. Rules will make you highly favored. Amen. But a man with rules still has his passions. Amen. Amen. You need more than that. You need the rules, but also you need the revelation to open your eyes to God's character. You know what's wrong with a great deal of Christians? They're too saturated in their own character.
Yeah.
My preacher taught me to do this and I do that. My Bible taught me to do this and I do that. My board of deacons taught me to do this and I do that. And my Sunday school teacher taught me to do this, and I've been doing that. And you're so wrapped up in what somebody taught you to do that you realize that there's a higher teacher than just your pastor or your Sunday school teacher or whatever the case might be. There's a God up there who has a character that's revealed in this book, and there's not a man standing in this room or a woman sitting in this room that adds up to that character. I don't care how many rules you've got. And about the time you begin to think you're something when you're nothing, and I don't know, I mean, I love Job, and I think Job's one of the great men in the Bible, but Job thought he was something. You say, how do you know? He didn't curse God. He didn't do the things that the devil tried to get him to do, but the thing that he lacked, he didn't have a proud heart. The thing that he lacked was revelation about who God really was. See, he knew the rules, but he didn't know who God really was. When he found out who God really was, he said, boy, he said, I've heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but said, now I look at you, he said, I loathe myself. I don't even want to be around myself.
Yeah.
You ever got the place where you got so close to God you didn't want to be around yourself anymore?
Yeah.
I'm the stupidest person I've ever been around. Why in the world do I do the things that I do? You ever been there?
Yeah.
You ever been there? You only get there once you get a revelation
yeah.
of who God is.
Yeah.
You need to not be so saturated in your own character, the thing, learned behavior. You know what your Christianity is tonight? I'm telling you this for a fact. I'm not guessing about this. I'm telling you what it is. Your attitude right here tonight, your behavior here today on the Lord's Day is learned behavior. Somebody taught you to do this. Oh, I love it. I love it beyond, you wouldn't believe how much I love it, but I love it. I love it. I love it. I love to hear some rebellious Baptist say, I don't follow no man. You're an idiot. Everything you're doing today is because some man done it before you and taught you how to do it. Mm-hmm. If you was doing today what God revealed to you ought to have been done, you'd have bent the altar up here on point number one. Oh, God help me. That's what it'd been. That's the attitude Revelation gives you. All this other stuff is just something you've been trained to do. I'm glad you're doing it. You ought to do it. Amen. The coming to church, the prayers, and going out on the street and preaching, all the stuff that you do for the Lord, all the stuff that some man taught you to do, you ought to do it. But there ought to be something behind that that'll keep you doing that outward stuff once the hardship comes, once the troubles comes. Amen? What if you had God and no discipline? What if you had God and no revelation? What if you had God and no compassion? Who could we find in the Bible like that? Like old Jonah. Old Jonah got madder because he had crop failure. He only had one plant in his crop. Yeah. Amen?
Yeah.
God told him to go preach, and he went and preached, and the Word of God had great effect. Amen? Amen. Amen. That's exactly right. The benefit for other people is in the Word. Well, I'm just a blessing to the body of Christ. You better quit thinking that way.
Yes, sir. Yes.
God could replace you with an old jackass.
Yeah.
Amen? God can replace you with anybody. God can, listen, you spend 12 years in school and get all the degrees you want, and God replace you with a high school dropout.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That can be done. The benefit for others is in the word that you preach. The benefit for you is in the charity that you have. You notice when you get over there to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, he said, I could have faith to remove mountains, and he said he could feed the poor and speak with tongues of angels. Gave you a lot of stuff that he does. But you know what? In every one of those cases, he said, it profiteth me nothing. Paul said some men preach Christ of contention, but he thanked God because Christ was preached. The word benefits others. It's the charity that benefits you. Some people say, Lord, Lord, have not we done many wonderful works in thy name? The Lord said, I don't even know who you are. What's your name again? Talk about an omniscient God. He don't know your name. Talk about sovereign God. Talk about Calvinism this morning. They talk about how sovereign God is. Some people God don't even know. Either the scripture lied. Maybe he's just trying to make a point. I don't know. Amen. Over there in Jonah chapter 4 and verse 3 and 4, he says, Jonah, doest thou well to be angry? Let me ask you, this stuff that makes you so mad, are you doing well to be angry? This day and time, it's the news media's job to get you mad at one another. Get the black folks mad at the white folks, and the white folks mad at the Chinese, and just around the liberals mad at the Republicans, and the Republicans mad at the Democrats and all that. Just keep people mad and stirred up. You know there's only one hope for this country, and it ain't got nothing to do with either party of the politics or the president or anything like that. Amen?
Yep.
Well, we had Obama, we're still here.
Yeah.
We had Kennedy, we're still here.
Yep.
We had George Bush, we're still here.
Yep.
Amen. And people get mad and try to take things into their own hand, and get Baptists mad at the charismatics, and the charismatics are mad at the Catholics, and all this kind of stuff, and it's some of that stuff with good reason. But I'm here to tell you, your anger ain't going to get nothing done. The wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God.
Amen.
That's right and true. That's right and true. You say, what's the answer? How about compassion?
Yep.
The Bible says compassion will make a difference. Amen. That guy down at the work, he's always saying stuff about the Bible makes me mad. I'm really having a hard time dealing with him. Compassion will make a difference. How about praying for him?
Amen.
Amen.
Yep.
1 Corinthians chapter 13, whole chapter on charity, how you ought to be thinking about. I mean, listen, you living for God ought not to make you bitter. You ought not to be mad because you're living for God. If you spend all your time mad because somebody's speaking in tongues, I mean, let them do what they're going to do, man. Just about every Baptist that I can think of is ganging up on this idiot out there in Nevada or wherever he's from, Stephen Anderson. Listen, why don't you leave that guy alone? Just leave him alone. Have you ever thought that God might have sent him to get those people? I mean, are you mad because he's got 300 people in a little storefront? Does that make you mad? You've got to say something about that. You in a competition for his 300 little converts? Maybe God was mad at those 300 people. You say, how you looking at that, Brother Mike? I'm looking at it from a biblical perspective. How does all these people get mixed up with the Mormons? God got a problem with them, I guess. You say, how do you know? They all come out of Baptist churches. I can't believe Osteen got a whole football stadium full of people out there. Don't worry about that. This guy graduated 3 classes behind me, and he's already got a church with 60 people in it, and I'm still milling around. Stop it. Stop that.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yes, sir. Yep.
Quit being in a competition with everybody. Amen?
Yep.
I want to see if I can be the hardest preacher. Quit that. I want to see if I can be the nicest preacher. Quit that.
Yeah.
We got enough nice preachers as it is. Amen. Too many nice preachers running around this country today. Yeah, that's what's wrong with the world, all right? Nice people. You think that's true? That's absolutely false.
Yeah. Yes,
amen. Some of you can stand to be nicer to one another. After church tonight, you ought to run find somebody you've been having a grudge against in this church for the last 2 years and stealing your joy and robbing your joy and say, man, I'm sorry. I've been having God's really your Savior, but that hard heart you got going on is eating your lunch. It ain't the dress she's wearing or the outfit he's wearing that's eating your lunch. It's something going on in your heart that's eating your lunch. Amen?
Amen?
Amen? You say, what is it? No compassion. Well, I don't think they're doing right, Brother Mike. Fast for them. If you can fuss at them, but you can't fast for them, I don't believe you're sincere. I think something's wrong with your heart. I'm not just thinking it is. Brother Jack, I'm sure that it is. I know it is. I know that there's a problem going on right there. Amen? That's not guesswork. That's Bible work right there. And then, what if you had God and no spiritual development? In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1 through 4, Paul tells the Corinthians, he said, I'd like to talk to you like you're spiritual folks, but you're not spiritual. And you know what? Along those lines right there, there ain't really much use in pretending. There ain't much use in pretending at all. Sometimes you just got to rear back and say, you folks are backslid.
Yep.
You folks are calling it. You got Bibles. You got God. You're saved. You come to church most of the time. You don't come to Sunday school because you're sorry. But you backslid. You've fallen out of love with the Lord. You love your house. You love your car. You love your job. You love your four-wheeler. You love your rifle. You love your pistol. You love your wife. You love your husband. Hope you love all those things. But you're just not spiritual. Your spiritual life suffered. A lot of people, their carnal life picks up and they think that's God's blessing. They get caught up in God's blessing. And God will bless you with some physical things. I'm not one that believes that God won't bless anybody with physical things. God's blessed me with many physical things. But those physical things can lead you off on a tangent. Your spiritual flame will go out. Every old oil lamp that I've ever seen, you have to keep up the wick and you have to keep oil in the lamp. You just go off and leave it sitting there. You're not going to come back 2 weeks later and find it still burning. The wick's going to burn out. The oil's going to burn out. See this generation with the light switch. Something going out of this generation. Amen? Amen? I don't wish it on nobody. I wish all of you the best. I really do. But some of you didn't grow up in an old house that had holes in the side of it where the kerosene lamp ran out. After about 2 days of being warm, that kerosene heater run out. You got to wait till Friday to get some more kerosene in that thing. Amen? Well, Christians are the same way. Come to a revival meeting. Go to a Christian youth camp and get on the altar and say, God, forgive me of that and help me with that. and then get back home that thing last 2 weeks. Of course, I will say half of that's probably your parents' fault. Church get them for a week, they get on fire with God. You get them for 2 weeks and ruin them. Something going on. Some parents need some oil in their lamp. I think there's an old song like that or something. Give me oil in my lamp. Keep it burning. It's truth. Brother Mike, it's hard medicine. It is hard medicine, but it's true. Guess what? It's true down at my house, too. It's not just true for you. Not true for me. It's true for me, too. You say, what is it? I need spiritual development. Amen. I've been reading the Bible since 1975. My mama started us off reading it 20 minutes a day, whether we could read good or not. I got a bunch of ands and these, but it was an and out of the King James Bible. And the words I could understand, I read them, and as I grew up, I read them. But I can't say, well, I've been studying the Bible for 40 years. So no, sir, you got to still grow. Got to still go back to the table and get another meal every single day. Amen? Got to do it. You say, why? Because in just a day or two without it, I'd be just as carnal as any lost man. I said, you as a Christian and me as a Christian, you get away from the things of God, the spiritual things, and either one of us could be just as carnal as any old lost man out there in the world. Amen? And we'd just be subject to our influences. We wouldn't tell no dirty jokes until the dirty joke tellers got around us, and we just didn't have the oomph to tell them, like the pastor told you this morning. Tell them, I don't want to hear it. Once that spiritual light's burned out, the power to say, I don't want to hear that, that will evaporate right before your eyes. Just like when Samson got up and said, I'm going to go out as I did at other times. And he began to shake himself and didn't even realize the power was gone till the ropes didn't break. You won't even realize the power's going till the mouth won't say, I don't want to hear that. Till the eyes won't say, I don't want to watch that. Yep. Amen? Amen. God and nothing else. You better hope that nothing else don't include discipline or revelation or compassion or spiritual development. Paul said he wanted to talk to you like you were spiritual. That, to me, that just speaks of the Holy Spirit. He wants to give you something. He wants you to grow. One of the best verses I ever memorized for as far as the ministry goes. There's some great verses in the Bible. I will tell you that. But one of the ones that helped me the best was when I really read Romans chapter 1, and it said, for I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift. Some spiritual gift. Amen? Yeah. To the end, you may be established. America can't stand another preacher that just has to be heard. Amen? Amen? Congregation can't stand another member that just wants to come in and be numbered with the number. We need spiritual congregations. We need spiritual preachers. We need folks with discipline. We need folks with revelation. We need folks with compassion. Somebody that can make a difference. Amen. You can scare them. But you know what I find? People use that verse a lot. Compassion or fear. Some say with fear, pulling them out of the fire. Some say with compassion, he says, making a difference. You know, I find that people lean on that. Well, we do. We can scare them, the Bible says. You can. But you know what I find? The person that will stick in there and let God speak to them and give them the revelation and build some compassion in their heart, and folks that are dealt with out of compassion and have a good example of compassion usually stick with it just a little bit longer. Maybe not for eternity. People have ups and downs. But I find that people who really find out how compassionate God's been to them and have a really good example of somebody being compassionate to them, like a pastor's wife or a Sunday school teacher that goes the extra mile for them, I find that they usually stick in longer, because the thing that's back of compassion is love.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. Love will have an impact on somebody. I know that's true, because the Bible says we love him because he first loved us. Amen. Amen. I don't recommend God and nothing else. I recommend, just like 2 Peter chapter 1 said, add these things to your life. Amen? They'll do you a world of good. Preacher, come on. Lord, we do thank you tonight for your goodness. I pray you'd take the word of God that's been preached and do a work in our hearts. And I thank you for all you do.